Welcome to another edition of Studying the Scriptures. I'm your host, Dr. Todd Baker, director of Berit Hadashah Ministries in Dallas, Texas. We have a bi-monthly ministry newsletter called Search the Scriptures, and that is available to you, our listening audience, for free. It is a newsletter devoted to addressing current issues from a biblical perspective, sharing with you our gospel outreaches in Israel and our witnessing encounters with the Jewish people. And it is a newsletter that is available to you free. You can sign up by going to searchthescripturesonline.org. searchthescripturesonline.org. Currently, we are in our great series called The Great Doctrines of the Bible, and it is indeed a great topic of study. Much of the church is ill-fed. Much of the church is steeped in biblical illiteracy and deception, and in many quarters, heresy, because they have not grounded themselves in the basic doctrines of the Judeo-Christian faith. And so we have been examining some of the major doctrines of the Bible. And currently we are on the doctrine of Christ, the doctrine of Messiah. It would be called by systematic theologians the subject of Christology. And we first looked at some introductory comments and insights about who Jesus Christ is. And in order to know what the Bible says and teaches about Jesus Christ, we must first realize who he is not. So this teaching today, we are calling Heresies Concerning Jesus Christ, Part 2. These heresies arose in the early church. We looked at some of them last time with you. We actually looked at one major heresy concerning the person of Christ, what we would call Christological heresies. And the first one was the Ebionites. They were a second century group of Jewish believers, and they believed, as their predecessors, the Judaizers in Galatia, they believed that in order to become a Christian, one first must bind himself to keep and follow the Mosaic law with its rituals and ceremonies. Their heresy concerning the person of Christ was that they denied he had a divine nature. So that's what we examined last time. Another major Christological heresy, moving on, another major Christological heresy in the early church came from the Gnostics, or what we would call Gnosticism. This was probably the most pervasive and widespread heresy that surfaced in the early church, Gnosticism. And you find it addressed, at least you find incipient and embryonic Gnosticism addressed by the apostles, particularly John. John stresses that Jesus was God Almighty in the flesh, that he took upon a human body. Why is that? Well, the Gnostics emerged a little before the Ebionites. They were already present by the end of the first century of the church age. They went to the other extreme of the Ebionites. The Ebionites denied that Jesus had a divine nature. Well, the Gnostics denied that Jesus was fully human. They denied that he was a flesh and blood man in the full sense. So they rejected the full humanity of Jesus Christ. The Gnostics were also called Docetae, or Docetists, D-O-C-E-T-A-E, And from that word comes those who follow that Gnostic teaching, the Docetists. The word in the Greek literally means to seem or to appear. And so the Docetic Gnostic would teach that Jesus appeared to be human, but he really did not take upon himself flesh and blood. You see the influence of Docetic Gnosticism in the Muslim Quran, the holy book of Islam. They believe that Jesus did not die on the cross. It only appeared that he died. And this is an influence of Docetic Gnosticism, which also teaches that Jesus appeared to be human, yet he really was not human at all. He was a phantom of sorts. The Docete Gnostics denied the reality of Jesus Christ's physical and fleshly body. His body was a mere phantom, a ghost, if you will. And again, we find the Holy Spirit refuting such foolish and fraudulent notions by the eyewitness accounts of the Gospels themselves. Jesus even said, when he rose from the dead, that he had a literal physical material body. He told the disciples, give me some fish so that he could eat it. And then he said, see, a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see me have. So Jesus affirmed that he lived in a body, died, and rose again with a physical fleshly body. But the Gnostics taught that Jesus Christ had a real body, but it was not physical or material. Why? Why were they denying the material and corporeal body of Jesus? Well, the Gnostics borrowed some of the teachings of Plato in that they believed that which was fleshly or material was inherently evil. Therefore, the body of Jesus Christ could not have been a fleshly body. So again, if Jesus is not God in the flesh, as the Gnostics would say, he would affirm that he was not in the flesh in a literal body, they would deny by extension, they would deny then by extension that God came and indwelt a physical body. Another brand of Gnosticism was the Cerinthians. Now, reliable church tradition teaches us that John the Apostle knew of Cerinthus. In fact, I believe it was in a bathhouse in Ephesus, the heretic Cerinthus, the Gnostic heretic Cerinthus came in, and when John, who was in there bathing, heard of it, he told his followers to quickly leave, lest the building itself fall in because of the great blasphemies and heresies Cerinthus taught concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. Cerinthus was a Gnostic and of the latter part of the first century. He taught that Jesus and Christ were distinct. Jesus was an ordinary man, the son of Joseph and Mary, and that Christ was the spirit and power of God which descended upon Jesus at his baptism in the river Jordan. Adoptionism, the heresy of adoptionism, teaches something similar to this. Recently, this Cerinthian heresy of Gnosticism was taught in the popular mini-series, historical mini-series called From Jesus to Christ. I don't know if it was on the History Channel or Discovery, but it was a series that whose main premise was Cerinthian Gnosticism. They believed that Jesus was a man, and over time, eventually, he became the Christ. And they separate the two. This is simply false. Jesus, the Messiah, existed before time as God the Son, the Redeemer, and he was born as the Messiah. He did not earn that title or walk into it. He was that from eternity past because he is God Almighty And the Bible reveals God to be the great Redeemer. Again, the Gnostic heresies are dealt with by John in his epistles and the Gospels, and in the epistles of John and in the Gospel of John, but also by the other apostles. Paul addresses some of these Gnostic heresies when he says in Colossians 2, in him dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Some New Testament scholars believe that was an affirmation that Jesus was God Almighty in the flesh and was revealed in a physical fleshly body, contra the Gnostic denial that Jesus did not inhabit a body, because according to Greek, Platonic, and Gnostic thought, matter was evil and spirit was good. For the Gnostic, for God to take upon himself a physical, fleshly, and material body was unthinkable. It was unheard of. They simply could not accept it. So we must realize that Gnosticism is still with us today, and particularly in the more liberal branches of biblical and New Testament scholarship. It is a serious error and a great heresy. The Gnostic heresies are alluded to and dealt with throughout the New Testament. Colossians 2:9 I mentioned, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, 1 John, Jude, and Revelation. Also, other passages tell us that Jesus was indeed a physical human being with a fleshly body. John 20:31, 1 John 5:20, 1 John 2:1, Hebrews 2:14, John 4:1-4, 1 Timothy 3:16 tells us God, great was the mystery of godliness, God manifest in the flesh. I don't know how much more plainer the scripture can be, showing us that Jesus, as God Almighty, became a flesh and blood human being. He certainly was. So the Gnostics deny that Jesus, they deny the real humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ. The next heresy to arise was in the early 4th century. This is called Arianism, named after its founder, Arius, who was a presbyter of Alexandria, Egypt. He was a bishop there. Arius taught that the person of the Lord Jesus Christ was not the same nature as God. Therefore, Jesus is not God. Although God created Jesus as the first created being through whom the rest of creation was made. Therefore, the Arians taught that Jesus did not pre-exist as God Almighty before he became a man. Jesus was a created being, and that by him all other things were created. In his created state, he is called the Logos, the Son, the only begotten, the beginning of the creation. And they base Arius based his teaching on John 1:1-3, John 14-18, Revelation 3:14. Arius taught that though the Son was called God, he was not God in the fullest sense of the word, but was the highest of all created beings. So Jesus was merely then a demigod, to God the Father. He was the first created being. Again, this denies the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. The first major ecumenical council of the Christian Church was called the Council of Nicaea. The Council of Nicaea, which was convened in 325 BC. I'm sorry, 325 AD. 325 AD. And the matter of the deity of Jesus Christ, the matter of him being God Almighty, was addressed. Arius, at one point in time, had swayed the majority of the early church to believe that Jesus was not God Almighty, but was similar to God, but not the same as God. The Greek word was homoiousion. Then, the one who represented the true biblical view and teaching that Jesus is the same as God and is God Almighty was the great defender of Christological orthodoxy. That would be Athanasius. Athanasius. He was exiled at one point for holding the biblical view concerning the deity of Jesus Christ. So there was a big debate. And finally, Athanasius' view prevailed because he was able to show from Scripture, contra Arius' heresy, that Jesus is fully God and he existed as God, the second person of the Trinity, God the Son, before he became a man. At the Council of Nicaea, Arianism was formally rejected and declared a heresy. Arius subsequently was dismissed from holding any church office as well as from communion. The Arian heresy exists today. More specifically, it exists under the teaching of the Jehovah's Witnesses, one of the most prominent Christian cults today. The Jehovah's Witnesses also, like their Arian predecessors, believe that Jesus is not God, but a God, according to their mistranslation of John 1:1. And as a God or a demigod, Jesus was the first created being of God. And through him, after he was created, God made the rest of creation. The heresy of Arianism, whether it was taught by Arius or now being recycled by the Jehovah's Witnesses, denies the eternity and co-equality of Christ's person as God with the Father and the Holy Spirit. They reduce him to a created being only. This is heresy, and it is spawned by the spirit of Antichrist. 1 John 4:1-4 says we are to test the spirits that come and claim they have a teaching or revelation from God. And the best way you can initially discover whether they're from God or not, the God of the Bible, is ask them, who is Jesus Christ? And if they fail to tell you, according to the revelation of Scripture, that Jesus is God Almighty in the flesh, second person of the Trinity, who is coexistent, co-equal, and co-dwelling with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit, they are of the spirit of Antichrist. It is as simple as that. The deity of Christ is a non-negotiable doctrine, and it is necessary to believe for salvation. It is necessary to believe for salvation. So we need to affirm that and denounce those heresies that seek to diminish the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. The doctrine of Arianism that does that is unfortunately is alive and well today. Particularly with the teaching of the Jehovah's Witnesses and their truncated Christology that denies that Jesus is God Almighty in the flesh. Jesus made it quite plain, particularly in John chapter 8, that if you do not believe he was the eternal Jehovah God, Yahweh God, the great I Am, that you would die in your sins. So any belief that is less than that when it comes to answering who Jesus is teaching flat out heresy spawned by the spirit of Antichrist. Then the next heresy that arose concerning the person of Jesus is Apollinarianism. Named after Apollinaris, who was a bishop of Laodicea, of all places, the church of Laodicea. He taught, again in the 4th century, Apollinarius taught that Jesus had a true body, but an animal soul, but not a rational spirit or mind. This heresy came out of this belief that it was too difficult to explain the union, the divine and human, the two natures in one person of Christ. It was too difficult to explain that, so Apollinarius opted to teach that Jesus, the eternal Son supplied the spirit or mind of Christ Jesus. Thus, the body and soul was the human part, and the eternal Son was the divine or spirit part of Jesus. Well, this teaching denies the completeness of Christ's human nature. Teaching that he has only two parts instead of the full and total humanity of spirit, soul, and body, Apollinarians reduced Jesus to a spiritual presence or mindset that came upon Jesus. Apollinarianism was rightfully condemned by the Council of Constantinople in 381 AD. It was condemned as heresy, Christological heresy. Then following that, we have in the 5th century, the rise of Nestorius and his doctrine. The Nestorians followed Nestorius, who was a bishop of Constantinople. He taught that the person of Christ was a dual personality. It was a dual personality. Nestorius denied the real union of the divine and human natures in Jesus Christ, saying, rather, the Logos, the divine personality, dwelt in Jesus, the human personality, making the two related persons. Nestorius presented Jesus Christ as a spirit-filled man, a man filled with God, but without true deity and true humanity in the one person. What is disturbing about these major heresies is that many of these heresies came from prominent members in the church. In the early church. And that's a pretty scary thing. As the tares began to infiltrate the wheat. Cyril of Alexandria opposed Nestorius's teaching, and Nestorius was condemned as a heretic and banished by the Council of Ephesus in 431 A.D. The modern-day survivor of Nestorianism would be the liberal theory of the kenosis, Philippians 2:6, where Paul says Jesus emptied himself of his position with God to become a man. And like the Nestorians of old, people today will seize upon that scripture and say Jesus emptied himself of his divine attributes to become a man, and because he became a man, he was subject to error and mistakes. Well, you simply can't do that. God is always going to be God. If God were to cease being God in any of his attributes, he would not be God by definition. So that's one reason why the Nestorian heresy or the Kenosis heresy is false. Kenosis comes from the Greek word in Philippians. In Philippians, where it says that he emptied himself or humbled himself, Philippians 2:6, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. Or emptied himself of his privileges. So, the modern day Nestorians, principally the liberal theologians, will say Paul was teaching here that Jesus gave up his divine attributes and became a man, and practically in effect, in the process, no longer being God. That is not what Paul is teaching here. Paul is simply saying that Jesus, what he did was Jesus renounced, at times when he was a man, he renounced using his attributes, even though those attributes were present. For instance, he could have used his attribute of omnipotence when the soldiers and the temple guard came to arrest him in Gethsemane, and in effect told them that. He said, do you not think that I could call on my Father to send legions of angels to rescue me? And he also demonstrated in a small measure his power to overcome his enemies in the Garden of Gethsemane when he spoke and identified himself as I am. And remember, John tells us in his gospel account that they fell backwards. So when Jesus emptied himself, it does not mean that he gave up or no longer function as God in with his divine attributes. He did not. He abstained from using them at certain times when during the incarnation, when he walked this earth as God Almighty in the flesh. Well, moving on, we come to the Eutychians. The Eutychians. Oh boy, they really believe some bizarre stuff. This heresy arose in the 5th century of the church. Obviously, the Eutychians were followers of Eutychus, and he went to the opposite extreme of Nestorius. Eutychus held that Jesus Christ had but one nature and will, not two separate natures or wills. He taught that the divine and human natures were so mingled into one that it actually constituted a third nature. So you have the human nature of the Lord Jesus Christ and the divine nature. Mingled and mixed together, they create this third nebulous nature. This teaching made Jesus Christ neither God nor man, but a third person resulting from the mingling of the two, though different from either. It reduced Christ to one hybrid natured person. Eutychus held that everything about Christ was divine, even his body and human nature. Well, the scripture teaches otherwise. The scripture teaches that Jesus is both God and man in one person. God and man in both one person. He is the God-man, Theanthropos. Theanthropos is the Greek word. Jesus is the God-man. He is both God and a man, a human being. He has a human nature and a divine nature united in one person. He has a human will with a divine will united in one person. And then, moving on, we have what's called the Monophysite heresy. Monophysitism, or the Monophysites was another, I guess it was another branch or subcategory of the Eutychian heresy. The Monophysites also held to Jesus having one nature and one will. These heresies concerning the will and nature of Jesus Christ arose out of the difficulty to see the harmony and relationship of the two natures and wills in the person of Jesus Christ. In 680 to 681 AD, the Council of Constantinople condemned, formally as heresy, the doctrines of the Eutychians and the Monophysites, and held to the biblical orthodox view that Jesus did indeed have two distinct natures, divine and human, and that of necessity he possessed two intelligences and two wills. Both were in harmonious unity in which the human will was subject to the divine will. And then, lastly, we have what's called the adoptionist heresy. This also was an offshoot of Eutychianism, Apollinarianism, and Nestorianism. This heresy taught that the humanity of Christ was only by adoption. It denied the now eternal humanity of Christ. Jesus was adopted as the Son of Man and the Son of God when he came to the Jordan River and was baptized and then formally approved by God from heaven when he said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." So they believed at that point in time that Jesus was adopted by God as his Son and the Messiah. Prior to that, he was not. That is false. It's heretical. The Bible clearly tells us that God the Son existed as God with God the Father in eternity past. It wasn't something he earned and was adopted to in time. He was God the Son from eternity past. He is God the Son by nature. He always was and will be God the Son. So adoptionism is another heresy that doesn't line up with the Scriptures. Every major heresy begins with a denial or alteration of the person of Jesus Christ. We have seen in these main heresies such a thing. With the Ebionites, they denied Christ's deity. With the Gnostics, they denied Christ's humanity. With the Arians, they taught Christ was a created being and not the Creator. The Apollinarians denied the completeness of Christ's human nature. The Nestorians denied the union of the two natures in Jesus Christ, reducing him to a man filled with God. The Eutychians deny the distinction of the two natures of Christ, thus making a third or hybrid nature of the two. The Monophysites deny the two natures and wills in the one person of Christ, and the adoptionists denied that Jesus was God's Son in eternity past. And they deny that his humanity exists forever once he became a man. And we will see that Scripture affirms the opposite of these heretical claims. Next time we are with you, we are going to look at the biblical orthodox view concerning the person of Jesus Christ. Until then, Shalom, Yeshua HaMashiach Alechem. May the peace of Jesus the Messiah be with you.